If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today. If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Family of three left standing astonished by the roadside. Ooh. Their journey took an unexpected turn on Saturday. A lightning strike at the family's car on Route 13 in southern Illinois. Now, deputies responded to the scene and found the family standing outside their damaged Ford. The three family members were uninjured and reported hearing a loud gunshot noise while traveling. The vehicle immediately filled with smoke after being struck. The direct lightning strike disabled the vehicle's electrical system, left a visible hole in the middle of the roof of the car, and also exploded the rear bumper and exhaust system, leaving debris scattered across the highway.
Damn. I do remember being in a car accident with the family, just the four of us, much younger. We're living in Rochester at the time. It's wintertime. The roads are icy, whatever. But at this time, we had a Volkswagen bus, right? And seatbelts at that time were optional. Now, my parents were belted in. And the way we did it, there was the second and third row. Because I was younger, I got the second row, which was slightly smaller, but bigger than a single seat. Loved it. My brother had the full back row. And it was at night, and I just remember my father yelling, "Hold on," right? And he just yells, he just screams, "Hold on." We have no idea what's coming, but I grabbed the back of his seat. Anyway, the bus, he pulls off the side of the road. Long story short, there was a car broken down in the middle of the road on the ice. And they just had their hazards on. There was a cop car there as well, but they didn't have any flares lit up or anything. So he kind of saw it at the last minute. And he pulls over to the right. What we did not know is that directly to the right of the road was a big ditch, like deeper than a culvert, but a ditch. So the bus fell over like the Flintstones car, right? It just went on its side. But as a real quick thing, and after it happened, I remember I'm still holding onto the back of my father's seat and my feet are dangling above the windows of the bus. Both of my parents are fine. My brother, meanwhile, had not held on, and he was just the look on his face makes me chuckle. He just looked disgusted, but he had fallen all the way down, like into the window kind of thing. So everyone's fine, and then I remember getting out of the car, which was, I thought it was kind of cool as a kid. Like, everyone was okay, so now it's just cool. The bus is sideways. We had to open the driver's side door, but it's like opening the latch to a submarine, right? Because now it's above your head. He pulls my mom out, pulls us out. My brother the whole time, not hurt, but that look of disgust on his face never went away. And then my father, I just remember him. He is tearing this cop a new a-hole up and down about flares. Now, the cop was dealing with the car. The guy in the car that had stalled, he was not injured. His car just stopped working. Like, why the goddamn flares in the middle of the road? You could have killed my kids. And I remember when he said that, the cop glanced over at us. And because I'm a little kid, like 9 or 10 years old, I like smiled and waved. You know, the police, he was not in the mood for that. He was getting dressed down, but they lit the flares and all that. But finally, some family friends grabbed us, took us back to their place. My father gets home like 3 hours later, and he's still just pissed. And we're like, what is wrong, man? And he's like, they sent a tow truck to get the Volkswagen bus out of the ditch. But because of the ice, that tow truck fell into the ditch.
Oh, heavens.
Seriously. Then they had to wait for like a big, massive one to come out and pull them both out. And the passenger side mirror was gone. That pissed him off. Because, again, do not mess with my father's car. It doesn't matter that it's a brown Volkswagen bus with orange and brown racing stripes. Doesn't matter how ugly it is. Don't mess with his S, man. He was pissed, like, for weeks.
Yep.
From Reddit, some unforgettable stories about relatives that will be talked about for generations. Here's one. My cousin stole her mom's boyfriend, whom the mom had a child with. What? Then had two children of her own with that guy.
What?
Yeah, trying to make sense of the connection between siblings, stepmom, stepbrother, uncle, aunts, etc.
Jesus, man.
Come on.
Yeah, I'm glad. As far as I know, nothing like that in my family.
No. Story of my family about my hillbilly cousins who lived in the bustling metropolis of rural western Kentucky. Their toilet pipes had become clogged somehow, and since they were so handy, they figured the best way to fix the toilet would be to unclog it using a hand grenade.
Jesus, come on.
Oh, come on.
Shockingly, this tactic managed to ignite the house on fire and burn it to the ground, although I think the toilet did get unclogged in the process.
Yeah, probably.
You blew it up.
Yeah. Now, my cousin, and I've told this story before, his father passed away, and he lived in Florida at the time and came back for his father's funeral. And he was going to stay there for like a month or two and kind of just get situations in order as far as possessions and all that stuff. And also the house he grew up in, and he had siblings. So they basically kind of all had needed to get together, go through all the stuff, find their own stuff, blah, 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 blah. However, Steve got the house from his dad. So the entire house was his. But at that point in time, Bandana Steve, who looked like Hulk Hogan, he was living down in Florida, shocking, and enjoyed the Florida Oxycontin Percocet jet ski lifestyle.
Sure.
So he was
the Florida way, man.
Yeah. And what he really needed more than anything was not a home in West Virginia that he grew up in, because he never wanted to live in that place again. What he needed was cash. And he figured the market was so bad and the house was so dilapidated, all the money that he would need to put in there to fix this thing up to sell it, and he really couldn't sell it as is, so to speak.
Yeah, you're selling a lot at that point.
You're basically selling a teardown. So what he decided to do was, he decided to set his dad's house on fire. So he dispatched...
Get the insurance?
He
Do you know this because he told you or because he got caught?
Because he told everybody.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. So he got a plan together where he was going to burn the house down while he was out of town. So he got a buddy of his to go over to the home and set the place on fire when he was not home. For whatever reason. Also keep in mind that this town is so small, it only has a volunteer fire department.
Okay.
So there's no forensic expert going over there and going, hey, the porch was soaked in gasoline.
Right.
Or
there's an accelerant.
A Molotov cocktail was thrown, you know, through the door or whatever the deal is. They have no idea. So he burned the house to the ground, got the money back for that, took all the money and went down to Florida and ended up in a drug rehab center from doing all the drugs off of all the money.
Did he spend all the money?
Oh, yeah.
I would imagine.
Yeah. But he was the cousin. It was always up to no good.
But he told you this.
Yeah.
Why?
He told whoever he told in the family, they told everybody else. I think that one of his siblings was kind of look, Steve, if you don't want the house, I'll take the house kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the house was in his name, and so he wanted the money.
All right.
He did not want to give the house to his sister to live in with her family. So he determined, so that was why there was a conflict, because she knew.
Damn.
He burned the house down. But he burned the house down to the ground. Like, if you go there to this day, it is still just the charred remains of a lot with weeds growing all around.
Really?
And no one has bought the lot. So he was not wrong about selling the place.
Sure.
But he did burn the house down. Which to me is, considering that's your family home.
Yeah, I mean, but the flip side, like you said, to this day, how long ago was this?
Also, they cleaned out the house.
And then it burned to the ground.
I mean, they had the couch in there, or stuff that they did not want.
Yeah.
But essentially, anything of any value, they'd
taken out.
They'd all already pulled it out, and they still did not figure that out. Did you have any items of value in there? And the insurance company would say, like, well, not really, it was my dad's place. Not letting them know that there was all that crap in there.
Why wouldn't they? I mean, look, at the point, like you said, look, it's a volunteer fire department. They don't have a forensics expert to go around and say all this crap. So when the insurance company asked me, did you have anything valuable in there? I absolutely did. I absolutely did, because no one can disprove it.
Yep. Once in the middle of a conversation in the living room of a family member, my uncle stood up, walked toward the corner, turned around so his back was to everybody, and proceeded to pee into a plastic Solo cup. His reasoning? He didn't want to miss the conversation. Jesus. Needless to say, the conversation effectively stopped upon this happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's a good one. In the early 2000s, I took my cousin Bubba to a house party.
Bubba.
Uh-oh. He knew no one there besides me and my husband. Bubba ended up living there for the next 6 months.
What?
Wow. Bubba must have been a charming dude.
I guess so.
We were camping once, and my cousin walked off into the woods to smoke a joint and take a morning poop. He also took his gun along to keep himself entertained. So when he finished his joint and poo, he looked back at his pile and naturally decided to shoot it. He returned to the campsite covered in shrapnel of his bad decision.
Mm. What did he think was going to happen?
I'm not sure.
Well, look, you know that's going to go bad when it said he took his firearm for his own enjoyment.
Right. Not to be safe. Not because
worried about a bear or anything else, but just like, I don't know, I might get bored. Let me take my gun with me.
I just wouldn't think that you were going to shoot a turd.
Yeah. Here's a good
one. I would think wrong.
One Thanksgiving dinner a few years ago, my cousin and his girlfriend got really drunk. Then my cousin proceeded to pull his D out at the dinner table in front of my whole extended family. He points at his genital warts and says, look what she did to me, referring to his girlfriend. That sure got a good reaction from my grandma.
Oh, God.
No.
God, man.
Guys, my cousin was arrested with some weed, was bailed out, then broke back into the police station that night and tried to steal his weed back. He is a family gem.
My God, man.
Yeah.
It's weed, bro.
Grandpa had a habit of putting things up his nose and sneezing them out for the comedic effect. One Sunday night at dinner, he shoved 3 kernels of corn up his nose. We laughed pretty hard until we realized only 2 kernels came out. Mm. The 3rd one didn't come out until the following Tuesday. We called him the Colonel for 3 months.
The Colonel.
Oh, no. Here's another. Guys, my older cousin is a raging alcoholic. For our family Christmas party, he asked in the family group chat if he could bring 2 female companions with him. They were escorts.
Jeez, man.
When his mom told him no, he took himself out of the family group chat and said he would not be attending. He still showed up, got completely hammered, and was mad the entire night. The next day, he was posting on social media that he was enjoying a sober life, and he was engaged to his ex-girlfriend a week later. The engagement lasted 2 days.
Mm.
I knew a guy that back in the day, right, at a university, was pretty well known for, like, selling stuff to people, right?
All right.
So later in life, like, obviously he can't do that anymore, so he has, like, a sales job, whatever, but basically the same thing. There's some giant convention. You could bring a spouse.
Okay.
He brings an escort. And basically just is blacked out, drunk. Now, the other issue is that apparently he had never used this escort, so he doesn't really know who she is.
Yeah.
She gets all messed up. Like, basically, they cause such a scene.
Oh, no.
Like, the cops have to be called. He obviously lost that job.
Yeah.
I mean, they sent him home and everything else. But when I heard the story, I was just like, you've got to be kidding me.
Why would you think no one's going to know it's an escort? Or did he just not care?
Well, it was also, like, 3 nights. Like, I honestly, if you showed up to, like, an office Christmas party and you just had this dime of a girl, not anybody in this room, but somebody just showed up, like, I'm sure you could pay an escort for a few hours to maintain and just be
sure,
like,
just pretend
here's the story.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm sure it's been done. But he took that girl down there for 3 nights. And they're doing coke. They're getting blacked out drunk. Like, of course, like, you know what I mean? Once you get people that messed up, like, if you don't know them, you don't know how it's going to go.
There was a guy I knew years ago. And the first time I met his quote-unquote wife, we were 100% convinced that she was an escort, right? Just the way she was dressed, the way she acted, kind of their interaction, the whole thing. And we're like, whatever. It was back in the restaurant days. And we're just like, all right, man, whatever. The next year, we have a Christmas party. Shows up with the same escort. And then we start looking at her hand. They're married.
Yeah.
It was his wife. And we're like, wow. Man, we had no idea. Seriously. But the flip side, well, kind of a good job. Like, she was really good looking, you know, kind of made up to look great, which is fine. But also not a great job when everyone thinks she's an escort. And not because of the way she looks necessarily, but because of the way she acts.
What did a family member do, or what happened when you were with your family? 206-803-ROCK. Guys, everyone likes to tell this one. When my uncle was in middle school, same middle school, actually, I would attend 30 years later. He got into a fight with one of his teachers. The fight was a literal knockdown, drag-out fist fight that had the teacher throwing my uncle into a nearby row of lockers by his collar and my uncle spitting blood at the teacher's face and shirt.
Jesus.
I don't believe the teacher faced any repercussions, but he continued to wear the shirt that got spit on throughout the year, and everyone could still see the blood stain on it. Made my uncle a legend, and anyone with his last name, a.k.a. my dad, cousin, brother, and I, were wary of being associated with him.
Yeah.
As far as the town's
concerned. The good old days, as it were.
That guy's my rich condescending.
I mean, if your family has that rep.
Right, exactly. As soon as you get to that class, they don't like you. I had the exact opposite problem. My brother was such a good student, and he's 5 years ahead of me. So as soon as I showed up in class, the teacher, I mean, day one, pretty much every teacher I had was like, oh, that is fantastic. We got another hill boy in here, blah, blah, blah. In about 3 weeks, they understood that we're very different people. Yeah, I ended up just crapping all over the very good academic legacy that my brother left behind. But, I mean, it was like every year. First day, oh, I've heard about you. You're Adrian's younger brother. I'm like, yeah, that's my older brother. Blah, 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 blah. Like, they would take extra time to talk to me, right? And honest to God, by 3 weeks, every case, they're like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, what the hell happened between you and your brother? I'm like, we're just different people. It'd have been better for my brother if they were unhappy to, like, if I were older, they'd have been unhappy to see him. And they go, like, okay, there's some redeeming quality about the Hill family. But I absolutely crapped all over anything that he did.
Yeah.
To the point he would get irritated. Like, for real, man? I'm like, look, I'm not here for you. I'm here for me. It just happens that you're a good guy. You got great grades. And I'm the opposite of both of those. And now the teachers, I feel like they hated me even more because they had some expectation that I was going to be a decent individual. It's like, no, I'm not, dude, at all.
Yeah. My dad, he had a buddy.
That is probably worse, though.
It is. Because, I mean, they really, I mean, honestly, man, first day of school, up until he freaking graduated from high school, the teachers, they'd always pull me aside. Day one, you're Adrian's younger brother, how's he doing? He's doing great, man. Blah, 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 blah. And it's just gushing. They're so excited that I'm in their class. And by the end of it, man, they're like, we hate you. You have let us down. You have been a disappointment. Maybe you should do a DNA test because there is no way the two of you are related. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, bro. I mean, listen, I'm me, he's him.
My dad had a buddy that worked for the DMV.
All right.
So I want to say they're about 18, 19 years old. So drinking age then was 17.
Yeah.
So they had no reason to get a fake ID. That was not in the cards. But they would get messed up and just go over and want to take goofy pictures of themselves doing stupid stuff like flipping off the camera, get a license made, or whatever the hell they did. One night they got high and drunk and decided that they were just going to give themselves ridiculous names.
Okay.
So one of the guys was like John Rockefeller or whatever. My dad picked Howard Johnson Jr. All right? So he had a legitimate driver's license that said Howard Johnson Jr. Now, he did it as a joke, but what he didn't realize was he always would keep it in his wallet. Like, if I get pulled over, I'm going to give him this one.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of thing.
No.
Then at one point in time, as he was...
Why didn't he start going to Howard Johnson's?
That's what happened.
All right.
He started to travel, and when he was traveling, he would go to a Howard Johnson's and say, go up to the desk, the front receptionist, and say, I called earlier, I'm Howard Johnson Jr., is my booth ready?
Yeah.
And they would go, oh... You know, but the thing was, I think the first couple times, no one ever checked the ID. It wasn't like he went in and showed the ID. Just like, I'm Howard Johnson Jr. I called earlier. Is the booth ready? He would do the same thing at the hotel.
Right.
Then he would show his ID at the hotel. He got free rooms. He got free food. He got free ice cream. There was no way.
Free ice cream.
Well, they had ice cream.
Yeah.
No. I know. We went there all the time when I was a kid.
There was no way to check and validate this stuff.
Yeah.
So if you're in a question, like, look, man, that's I got the pass.
It's an official ID, right?
Yes. Do you need me to call anybody? I mean, I can make a phone call.
Yeah.
No, sir. We didn't know the room was for this weekend. Yes, I called. And he would call and talk to the front desk. And get the room, and then just go there. And
did they ever charge him?
I don't think he ever got busted.
It was like so stupid.
But you got to remember, like,
but it worked.
He would go, like, when they were traveling, go down to Florida, South Carolina. Yeah. Howard Johnson's everywhere.
We used to just go to him literally for dinner and ice cream.
Johnson. So not even John Rockefeller. Right. Howard frickin' Johnson.
You know, he tells his girlfriend, wife, whatever, like, look, man, just remember I'm Howard. Right. You know, and no matter what we do.
Call me Howard.
Don't call me Jim.
Yeah.
Call me Howard.
Junior at worst.
We got this. They ordered room service because they had a restaurant downstairs. Like, one of the nicest rooms in the hotel.
Not Hilton. Howard Johnson.
Howard Johnson, Jr. What did a family member do or what happened when you were with your family? 206-803-ROCKS.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK from the Pinkies Plumbing Studio. You're in the men's room.
Men's room 20th anniversary world tour stop number 3, the Saturday Muggle Shoot Casino, 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
A free show with the reunited new original.
Because that's how much we're worth.
Now, if you have never seen a new original show, you'd think that they would do a lot of new original music. In fact, they never have even produced one song.
That is correct.
One original piece ever in the history of the band.
Mm-hmm.
But they have some new original covers that they're going to perform this Saturday at Muckleshoot.
That's correct.
In honor, coming up at 4:30 with Sit and Spin, T. 10 cover songs by rock's biggest bands.
And you know, for the new originals, I will say this, we care about you so much, we're doing two practices.
Yeah. And there's some songs that you say, well, that doesn't seem like much, and then you go and you try to cover them, and you realize it's a more difficult song to play than you thought it would be.
There's a few bands like that, not because they're difficult to play, but their logic for how they choose to, the order of things,
right,
sometimes throws you off. I will say the toughest song, and I think I speak for everyone in the band, maybe not the drummers, but guitars and bass, was freaking Christopher Cross, man.
Really?
Honest to God. We're like, oh, dude, what did we play? Was it Sailing? I don't remember what we played. I think it was Sailing. And we're like, oh, dude, we got this, right? So everyone kind of goes off on their own separate path to practice the tune. And in my head, I'm like, Jesus Christ, there's this one part that there's a difference when you play what studio musicians play versus what bands play. Bands are pretty simple to cover. Studio musicians are kind of a different breed, right? So we realize, okay, this is a studio musician song. So when we get to practice that day, again, I don't want to say out loud, like, I'm struggling in this part of Christopher Cross. And one of the guitar players is like, hey, man, is it just me or is this one part?
He's a session player. Yeah.
Jesus Christ, it's hard to play, man.
So a new originals free show, 2 o'clock. We will have the Men's Room IPA and the 20th anniversary lager from Black Raven there. Men's Room beer brats from Uli's. The Men's Room roasted red salsa from San Juan Salsa Company. So as you're eating, you're drinking, you're having a good time at a free show, you will be benefiting our friends at the Fisher House. And you're going to drink with us. It's a free show. Good times. We say cheers to 20 years. So since been coming up at 4:30. Our question, what did a family member do or what happened when you were with your family? 206-803-ROCK.
A quick text here, kind of piggybacking on my comment about my brother being a very good student, being a very decent guy. I'm 5 years behind him. I get in school. Teachers have expectations of me, and they found out we're very different. Basically, I sucked, and they hated me for that. So this guy says, my first day of seventh grade science class, the teacher got to my name during roll call, and when he stopped, he looks up at me, sitting in the back row of class, and says, are your brothers David and John? Now, I should have lied. It had been 10-plus years since they had had that teacher, but he was still pissed at them for hacking into the computer and changing grades. So as soon as I said, yes, they're my family, the teacher immediately had me switch with a student in the front row, and that became my seat for the entire year. Everyone else could change, but never me.
Hmm.
That's a bad legacy, man.
Yeah. What did a family member do or what happened when you were with your family? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
You know, I can't say it enough. I got to say it again. You guys make the day better.
Oh, thank you, man.
Really, yeah, appreciate that. Thank you, man.
So, you know, I'm camping out with my brother years and years ago, and he's one of those weirdos that likes to roast his marshmallow and catch it on fire, then blow it out.
Yeah, I thought that was the standard. Maybe I'm a weirdo, too.
Well, I don't like you know, some people are more patient. They like to roast it and get it nice and brown, but he likes it, like, charred.
Okay.
And fire. And one of the ways that he would blow his marshmallow out is just to take the stick and whip it back and forth to put the flame out.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so he catches it on fire. We're drunk. It's after dark. He catches his marshmallow on fire, and he whips the stick back and forth, and it flies off the end of his stick and disappears. Goes out in midair. We laughed, didn't think twice about it. And somewhere in the middle of the night, we go pass out in our sleep bags. Wake up the next morning. It turns out his marshmallow had landed at the head of his sleeping bag.
Oh.
And it was stuck to the side of his head, all in his hair.
He was
times.
He was drunk enough that he didn't notice when he laid down.
Oh no! Yeah, we were sheets.
Okay, I got you, man.
Yeah.
I like how you point out we were camping and we were drunk. It was
at least
after dark.
Fell on the fire. It wasn't the worst thing that could ever happen.
Yeah, but there's always that guy. It happened to me last summer.
What's that?
We were roasting marshmallows and like if it catches on fire, it's one thing. But I'm not pro torching it and blowing it out.
Yeah.
Right? You got to be patient,
yep.
Right? But one guy couldn't help himself. He had to do it. And then he started waving it around when it was on fire. It launched over. Basically just splat. But it was, the marshmallow was bigger.
Yeah.
Than even like the big one. So then my buddy is hammered. I don't think he realized there's like fire underneath him. And
My buddy's wife is a tiny woman, but she, I mean, like, with one arm, she just, like, a parent, like, yanked him out of the way. But I was like, stop waving around flaming hot giant marshmallows.
Blow it out.
And you, yeah. Right, you
it's
don't.
Not a match, yeah. Right?
It just, I those people frustrate me.
Really?
Yeah.
You just silently get annoyed when they're waving her. Look, I don't necessarily light it on fire on purpose. I'm just not patient, and inevitably they burst into flames. And I've accepted that that's just how it's going to be.
Yeah.
So I'll blow it out and stick it. That's all. I could be patient, yeah. But I'm not. I'm just not. Man, we did, my kids wanted to do s'mores. We're not camping, but we have a fireplace. Yeah. Years ago, and we're like, F it, fine. We'll do s'mores in the house. Don't do s'mores with little kids. Everything bursts into flames. And then they get upset. Like, oh, my marshmallows are on fire. I'm like, because you suck at this, man. I don't know what else to tell you.
Not only that, it was like 2 summers ago. Right? I don't know how old that kid was. 3, 4? Miles, I don't know how to explain it to you, right? What I sat there. I roasted it. They're like, yeah, he can have one. He's all fired up. I said, all right, make it, right? It's good. I hand it to him. I turn back around to, like, put another marshmallow on a stick. Because somehow I'm kind of in charge, like these four kids.
Yeah.
And I turn around, and it's all over.
Yeah.
I mean, it's everywhere.
Right.
And he's just sitting there like, ah. Oh, I'm like, what? You know, it's hard not to be like, what the F did you do?
What did you do in this little bit of time?
Right?
Like, did I have a seizure? Have I missed the last 30 minutes? How are you that
messy? Then I kind of look at the parents, and they're like, it's not your fault. They're just kids. But I'm like, what happened?
Right.
Jesus.
All you want to know.
Here's one.
It's all over them.
My cousin's a criminal, but an inept one. Unable to hold down a real job, he turned to petty burglary one Christmas when he stole all the presents from under the tree while the family was together at a Christmas show.
Jesus,
no
man.
Signs of forced entry. Everyone suspected him. Couldn't prove it until he was caught a month later, actually using a laptop that was one of the Christmas gifts.
Are you kidding?
But because he's family, no one pressed charges. Here's another. My cousin robbed a taxi driver at knife point when the taxi had arrived at the destination. That was my cousin's home. And yes.
Jesus.
He ended up going to jail. Our question, what did a family member do or what happened when you were with your family? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Justin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
So I texted in about my uncle crashing through a fence. Not the same story, but same uncle. I was basically, I'm at my house with my whole family over. My grandma and my uncle were over down from Canada. And my uncle got pissed drunk, but won McDonald's. So me having a learner's permit and being the only one in the house not drunk, he recruited me to take me to McDonald's. He said, I'll teach you some valuable lessons about driving and how to eat a burger while you're driving. I'm like, okay, cool, sounds good. So we do all that. I have to blow into the car.
Oh, he's already got a blow and go in there.
Yeah.
Oh, he was on, I believe, his third or fourth DUI in Canada at that point. I think he had two interstate.
Damn.
Well, I wonder why it is that if you have one DUI, you can't get into Canada.
Right.
But you could have 9 million of them and get into the United States. You would think that they would be like, it'd be an even
it's
trade.
It's a felony in Canada.
Yeah, it's a felony, man.
Yeah, but you'd still think it'd be an even trade, just as far as like getting across the border. Like, okay, you guys do that? We should do the same thing.
Yeah, but we don't care here. That's why you get guys apparently like, have, you know, 15 well, DUIs before they finally take his license.
Yeah.
But all right, so you're going to McDonald's.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, we go to McDonald's, and he's like, all right, go ahead and order so we get... let's see here. He gets a Big Mac, and I get a double quarter pound with cheese, good old stuff. And we start driving, and I'm like, yep, I'll eat it when I get home. He's like, no, you won't. You're going to put one burger in your hand right now, and you're going to eat that while you're driving. You need to know how to eat one-handed driving. I'm like, this makes sense. He's like, and you got to figure out how to use the other hand to prop the burger while you take some of your soda, too. I'm like, okay. This is a valuable lesson, how to order from a drive-thru and how to freaking eat while you're driving. I appreciate his drunk ass for teaching me that, and I always will.
Is he, how's he doing now? Is he still around?
No. He,
I figured.
Long story short, my grandma found him at the bottom of his boat, and there's the net. But wow. The other story is brilliant. He literally, like, crashed through the neighbor's fence, drunk, and anyway, went into my grandparents' house, got into the cabin, grabbed a whole bottle of Jameson, drank half of it. That was when the cops got there, he was drunk from the trauma. So he went into his his parents' house and got some booze because he was in shock. And the cops believed him and got scot-free. That was the only time that he didn't get a DUI.
I've heard that move before. Wow. Like, look, if you drive drunk, like, in front of your own home, like, well, lawyers would say, go into your house, find whatever booze you have, and start guzzling that. And even though the cops know it's complete BS, it's hard to prove that you were drunk behind the wheel.
Hmm.
Right, because they go in and it's like, well, he was visibly drunk. Of that, there's no question. His argument is that he drove sober, and obviously when he got home, he started drinking. And we can corroborate that, yes, he was guzzling a bottle of blank while he was sitting in his house.
Here's a couple more, guys.
Or don't drive drunk.
Yeah. I have a cousin who's a nurse. She rose to a small bit of TikTok fame. She would post videos talking about how she would have no problem unplugging someone's ventilator at the hospital for a few minutes to plug in her phone.
Whoa.
Now, there were a few of these videos, and each one made you wonder what the hell was wrong with her. She was promptly fired from her job.
Good.
Another, my aunt embezzled money from the family company, close to $250,000 in cash.
The family company?
The same aunt did the books for the company, had all three of her sons' cars in the company name. She also taught her sons how to commit insurance fraud. Ran up close to $10,000 on my grandmother's credit cards at a casino. Tried to steal belongings of my grandmother's to pawn. She's finally getting what's coming to her. She's been taken out of the will, and the embezzlement and fraud cases are now pending.
Good. Come on.
I got a crazy story with my stepdad. We were living in Detroit, Michigan at the time. And in the Italian culture, there's a big interest in boxing as far as promoting upcoming fighters,
yeah,
getting involved in helping them pay for training, all that stuff, you know, like anything else. If they do well, you know, a bit of the purse might come your way.
Sure.
Depending on how you finance the stuff. And they just really wanted to get into, they were already working with a couple guys at the Kronk Gym, which was a famous gym in
Detroit.
In Detroit. And so they wanted to put on some amateur boxing and pro boxing. So they started out doing amateur boxing, and it was going pretty well, and they filled the venue up, made money, the whole deal. So they didn't decide that the next time around, they're going to have a little bit bigger of a venue, and the boxers are going to be a little bit bigger of a deal.
Yeah.
So now you've got a couple guys on there that are professional fighters fighting on the card. The whole thing's going to be like six fights. Most of the guys are local, but the big-name guy is like the heavyweight champion of that area. And he's going to take on a guy from Norfolk, Virginia.
Okay.
And he is the heavyweight champion of that area, blah, 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 blah. At that point in time, they just had the names of the fighters. They might have had one or two small black and white pictures. But as far as the headline,
all super pixelated.
Yeah, the main event, all right, it was, there was no pictures of the fighters. But you knew who the local champion was. You knew that guy's name, and you knew he was taking on some guy out of Virginia, Navy guy, some crap, blah, 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 blah. So, they almost sell this thing out beforehand. And there's a few standing tickets left. 2 days before the fight, my uncle, who's promoting this thing, gets a call from the trainer in Norfolk and says, hey, man, our guy's in jail. So, they're like, oh, crap. They've almost completely sold this thing out.
Yeah.
They've already made money. So my uncle calls a buddy of his that also has a gym in Ohio. And he calls up and he says, listen, man, I need a big favor. I need one of your better heavyweights to come up and, you know, and act like he is this fighter.
All right.
And the guy's like, no problem. I got your guy. All right. So they send this guy up and they're going to pay this guy to act like that he is really the heavyweight champion.
Of Norfolk.
Of Norfolk, Virginia. Apparently this guy comes up and he is just... He's older. He is grotesquely out of weight.
Oh, no.
He is not in shape. And it doesn't even look like this guy. There's no way in hell that this guy, the guy comes out without a belt on, first of all, because he did not have a belt.
Okay.
So number one, that's.
So he's the champion, but did not bring his belt.
He's a champion, but doesn't have a belt. All right. Apparently, within 20 seconds of the heavyweight fight, the guy throws a punch and misses this guy completely. It's very, very obvious, but the guy takes a fall, and the place goes nuts, all right? I mean, people are losing their mind because they're like, this is crap. This is not legitimate boxing. So people want a refund. So my grandmother is working the gate, My grandfather goes up and goes, Mary, you take all the money. You get the F out of here. You take off now. We'll try to maintain the crowd. They basically had a mini riot
right
in that arena because of the last fight of the night. Apparently all the other fights went off without a hitch.
Sure.
Everything was good. But what was supposed to be the title fight ended up being a complete disaster. And I think that was the last time that they ever tried to do any boxing.
I was going
to
ask, like, what's the follow-up on that, right? Because now everyone knows you as the promoter, right? So they're done with the promotion game, but were people looking for them weeks and months later?
They just want their money back.
Yeah,
because exactly. Basically the reason they were paying was to see this main fight. And it was a 15-round fight back then. So it was going to be an hour and a half, you know?
And it's kind of, I mean, that's very specific, just having a different guy.
Yeah.
But, like, I have a buddy, he got into it for a little bit, too. Like, that's why it's hard, and you know what I mean? Like guys just come in overweight, this or that.
Well, so especially if there's a last-minute call-up.
But I'm saying it happens all the time. That's why boxing promotions and fight promotions are so tough.
Yeah.
Because it seems like, generally, they go the way Miles is saying, as opposed to, like, a good organization that's run and
it still happens. So, it was probably, like, 6 or 7 years ago. It's a fight on ESPN. I love boxing, right? So it's somewhere in the middle of the card, and I do not remember who's fighting, but this is a young up-and-comer, okay? So he's looking for guys to fight to kind of prove himself, and they do point out at the top of the broadcast, like, hey, he was supposed to fight Miles Montgomery, whatever happened, that sickness, blah, 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 but the Ted Smith, journeyman boxer, right? You always hear that. You know, he's been around for 7 years. His record is 50-50 with wins and losses, but, you know, he can teach this young guy kind of how to box, but, you know, it'll still be a good thing for him. So you get to this card, and to bring this guy out, and he's not, like, out of shape, but he's clearly older than the young up-and-comer. You know, and he's got a little bit of the old man fat on him, but still kind of built. Well, old journeyman beats the living piss. Oh, yeah, this is not how it's supposed to go, man. So then they're kind of like, oh, no. You know what I mean? Even the broadcast is like, oh, no, because whoever was the title fight, obviously they're promoting that most, but the next thing they wanted you to see was young up-and-comer Miles Montgomery. This guy might be the future of his weight class, blah, blah, blah. Hey, thank God this journeyman stepped in with 2 weeks. Journeyman went and beat the hell out of this guy in like 2 rounds. And they're kind of like, we don't know how to how to make this any better. And it wasn't fixed. I mean, journeyman, he knew how to box. He might not have been the best boxer, but he knew how to box. Well, the other guy, young up-and-comer, like had, you know, a strong right or something like that. Mm-hmm. But dude knew how to block it. And then you realize, like, dude has no more game than that. So young up-and-comer is like 21 years old. That's the last I heard of the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got...
Their promotion company basically folded after that night.
Yes!
But they still supported boxers. So, like, my Uncle Rudy, he put a bunch of money into the trainer of a guy named Emmanuel Stewart, who was a pretty good
I know Emmanuel Stewart, yeah.
For a while.
I don't know him, but
they got a little bit of return on some of the investments.
Well, Emmanuel Stewart also, I mean, he's the reason you know the Kronk gym.
Yeah.
Oh, is he?
Oh, he's a legendary trainer.
He trained so many boxers out of there, and this and that. I always forget, but like, you know, Tommy Hearns, when he's dominating the 80s and everything else. So, I mean, that was always like a thing. Fortunately, it burned down, but to be like the main guy at the Kronk gym, because everybody just assumed you had to be the best boxer there was, like, arguably in your weight class of the States.
Yeah, Emmanuel Stewart was no joke. And the worst thing is, because he was legendary, they had always felt the need to interview him. And my man clearly had taken some blows in his life. You know what I mean? Just, that, hey, Emmanuel, what do you, you know?
He just didn't care.
What do you think of this guy? Like, stop interviewing him.
I like your show and I admire your style. But you pay so cheap, I won't be back for a while.
Ten cover songs by Rock's biggest bands coming up at 4:30. We will sit and spin. And we got your emails coming up next in the men's room at KISW.com.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.